a lot of them are just no-brainer ideas
yeah.
that Nintendo just doesn't do.
They don't want to do it.
What's the, maybe
they don't want that money. God, you are a fucking buffoon. Hey guys, welcome back for another episode of the Game Boys podcast. I'm here with my buffoon.
Hey everybody, buffoon here.
We got a nice episode for you. I think we actually have topics today that we brought to the table.
Yeah, they're here.
Yeah, they're ready to go. Yep. This will be the last podcast before you will be leaving on a jet plane and don't know when you'll be back again.
2 weeks.
Okay.
So maybe you'll get Snyder to fill in. Maybe it'll be a solo pad podcast.
Yeah. We got a you're going to Japan.
Yeah, for 2 weeks.
Nice.
So
nice. He's going to bring me back some games, hopefully.
Yeah, I'll find something for you.
I got to give you a game or two.
Get you a little something. It's not really. I've said this multiple times. Like, there's a couple things that I've already have in my head that I kind of want. I was going to get the Xenoblade Chronicles 2 controller. Now I'm like, I don't. Care and I'll need that.
Yeah,
like
so you're not even a fan.
No, I mean I have the game, but I'm not a fan of it. But I was only gonna get it because of the better D-pad. But right. I don't care. It's fine.
Yeah.
And so what I am gonna get is something really cheap. I think the top thing on my list is gonna be great because it's extremely easy to find, and it's common. Yeah, it's really cheap.
Pocky.
Yes, that's all I want. Strawberry Pocky. No.
Going all the way to Japan
for sure. You can find that at like Walmart these days. No, I'm going to get the Phoenix Wright, just part one.
Okay.
Phoenix Wright 1 for DS, just because I've been listening to this other podcast and they gave a lot of advice. There was a whole episode about game localization.
Get the GBA one. Get the one that you can't get here.
I guess.
Play it on your Game Boy Micro.
I guess. Yeah, that's a good point. I'll look for it.
Yeah, get the one that you can't get here.
That's a good point. We'll see. So, I've heard... I love those games, and I've heard that the writing in Japanese is so clever and really well-written and everything, and it's still kind of beginner Japanese, so I think it'll be a fun way to learn.
Right.
So, I'll pick it up.
Okay.
And it's like... You probably saw those all the time, too. They're like 200 yen. Like constantly you would see those. I was like... Whenever I was looking for anything in the DS section, there was always just, like, a giant line of Phoenix Wright games laid out.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, what have you been playing lately?
I'm finishing up Night in the Woods right now. That's been fun. It's the same games for me right now. It's
same
just been
game.
Same games where I'm playing through Crash Bandicoot, the Insane Trilogy. I occasionally peek my head into Gravity Rush 2 and keep chipping away at that. I've just been so busy that it's just been chipping away at those games. I'm not really playing anything new because I'm not trying to introduce anything new into that mix. So I know that you've still been playing Octopath Traveler. So what is your I think I peek at your. It's hard not to. I think everyone does this on their Switch. Maybe it's just me. I like constantly peek at my friends and see what they're playing.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
I saw you're like 10 hours into Octopath right now.
Yeah, I'm about 15 now after today. Played for a couple hours this morning. I love it. I'm officially hooked. Like, if you didn't show up when you did, I would have been playing it all day, probably.
Mm-hmm. Well, before I came here, I saw you were on.
Yeah. So, that's what I'm doing in my free time, and I love it. I love it. I love how you can go around, and each character has their own special, like, overworld ability that's not, like, part of the battle system, and you can go to all the individual characters and, like, pick their pockets and, you know, recruit them or find out about their backstory. Each of the, you know, the scholar can, like, look into someone's backstory and, like, find, and maybe there's, like, a hidden item in the town or whatever that they know about. The thief can pickpocket people or the merchant can, like, buy stuff from people. The dancer can, like, allure people and get them to follow you and, like, fight with you. And the Beastmaster can, like, fight, challenge people to a match or whatever. And that all plays into the overworld. So, like, maybe there's somebody who's sitting in front of a doorway in front of a house, and they're blocking the way, and you can only talk to them. well, if you fight them with the Beastmaster, then you can, like, knock them out and get into the house, and then they might be, like, hiding, like, a valuable chest with a nice loot in it or whatever. And they're so it's addicting because you could just go around and just hit, pickpocket them or whatever to, like, all the people in the town. So the next thing you know, you've just wasted, like, an hour going around pickpocketing people, and it's, like, gives you a percentage chance of whether or not you'll be able to get it. But, like, spying on people and stuff throughout the town might give you other perks that, like, improve your ability to steal stuff. So you might run across somebody who has, like, a super good sword in their inventory that you want to steal, but there's only, like, a 3% chance that you'll succeed. And if you fail, like, your reputation goes down. But if you go around the town and, like, look at people's backstories and, like, spy on them and stuff, then sometimes it will be like you'll learn how to be a better pickpocket from a person, and that will improve your odds of going back later and, like, pickpocketing people to get the rare loot.
It's a great lesson just for kids. Just get to know people so you can steal from them better.
It's not a kid's game.
I know. I hear it's pretty dark. Well, yeah. I mean, even the demo that I played was pretty dark.
Yeah, it's really not a kid's game. So, yeah, I love it. It's gotten me addicted now. And I'll be playing it as soon as you leave tonight.
Yeah, I'll dive into it soon enough. Because I've said this, it's becoming harder and harder for me to, like, turn my consoles on and stuff. I've been playing my Switch, like, all the time now. Yeah. I don't know what happened to me, too. It snapped recently. I've been bringing it to work all the time because there's been so much downtime. And, like, I'm, like, back into my old honeymoon phase that I had in the past where, like, I was bringing it everywhere. Right. I've, like, got back into that point again where I'm playing games constantly on the go.
Yeah, so, I love it. It's great for, like, little bite size, you know. Oh, I just need to go over to this town, so let me just hop on. And even if you only have 10 minutes, you can walk over through the pathways to the town, and then you get there, you save, and you go back to your business. And aside from that, I've just been rewatching The Wire. So, I've only got one episode left, and I'll have rewatched the series again. So,
I'm almost at the end of Sopranos. No, I'm not at the end of Sopranos. I'm at the end of second season. I've been trucking along with that as well. So, honestly, do you know if you can download, like, stuff to be available offline on your phone on the Plex? Do you know if that's available to do that?
I don't know.
So, if that's available, I would love to have some episodes to have available to me that I can
watch. It's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm going to have data service out there, but I'm not using data for stuff like that, because it's not unlimited. I'm not using...
You have Wi-Fi, though.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, you know what? Yeah, last time I did this, I would watch stuff on Plex all the time when I'd be in the hotel room or something, if I had Wi-Fi access. Am I allowed?
So, yeah, yeah, you should be able to watch on Wi-Fi.
Okay, I'll probably do that. Oh, so I have been playing something. I kind of made it a topic, but not really. But I just wanted to talk about that. Last night, I randomly turned on my Nintendo 3DS. So I looked at the eShop, and previously, the WarioWare Gold demo was only available for European.
Mm-hmm.
And it was available for everyone now. At least the American. So I went ahead and downloaded that, and I played through it last night just so I could talk about it.
Okay.
So WarioWare Gold is coming out soon. It is a compilation of about 300 minigames.
Whoa! 300 games!
So when it was first announced, people were kind of... this happens whenever Nintendo announces something for 3DS, which, you know, for good reason. People are just, why are you supporting the 3DS? A big franchise like that should be on the Switch. And I can agree, just because the last time a WarioWare game was put out was put on the Wii U one was an absolute bomb.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even play it. That's the thing. I'm a giant WarioWare fan. I played every single one of them but the Wii U one. I owned the Game Boy Advance one, the GameCube one.
But that game isn't WarioWare.
Okay, well, that's good. That's why I avoided it. That's why I looked at it, and it didn't look like a Warrior mini game.
Micro games,
yeah. So I played the Game Boy Advance one, the GameCube one, the Game Boy Advance Twisted one, the DS one, both DS ones, which there was a do-it-yourself one where you can make your own micro mini games. I played that one, too, and, of course, the Wii one. So upon playing this one, I kind of see why they decided to stick with the 3DS. Because
is it shit?
It's great. It's a great game. I think what they decided to do was they really wanted to make this an absolute tribute to the whole series. And I think that's best done on... This is just my opinion. I think it's best done on the 3DS, just because a lot of those games, I think, would be a lot more difficult to pull off on the Switch. Because how the demo plays out is that there's Mash Mode, which Mash Mode is where you only use the D-pad and A button, just like the Game Boy Advance and the GameCube one. And there's also Touch Mode, where it's touchscreen, like the Nintendo DS one. And there's also Tilt Mode, where it's just like the Twisted one for Game Boy Advance. And I think there's one, it wasn't available in that one, but they showed a logo for it where it just showed a mouth. So I assume it's going to use the microphone feature, just like how the DS ones did that too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they really just wanted it to be a tribute to the whole overall series. And overall, and granted, I agree that the GameCube multiplayer one is probably like one of the best ones. I think the game is mostly a handheld collection of microgames, single player. I really believe that that's what it's always been, and I think they're trying to make a tribute to that. So I think it works best that way. The Tilt games were a lot of fun, and the Switch has a gyro sensor in it, and they could do those games, but it wouldn't work nearly as well because it's
Why?
Such a, because the way the games are designed. It's a complete nod it's a compilation of the series. So it's trying to take that inspiration from the Twisted series, which Kate was on a tiny system, so you could twist it so many different directions. Like that's yeah. It's so goofy. I was picturing how would this be on a Switch and like how that
you
big
could do it with a single Joy-Con.
It wouldn't work as well because the whole thing. I really don't think it would work the same way. But I could be
Have released a. Compilation of like they should have included those games on the 3DS one and then also did like a mashup version where they all get used. That'd be cool.
Oh, you mean like
include DIY, and they already included most of the games, like include the full versions of Touched DIY,
the full versions of all those games,
and then do a mashup
mode. But I think on its own, it stands pretty well so far. I'm definitely going to purchase it.
Well, I think that it's garbage.
That's fine. You can try it out.
I haven't played it. I'm sure it's great.
It's a lot. Sure it's super fun.
My only complaint is that it's on 3DS, and that's because I love WarioWare, and I want to play it, and I know I'm not going to play it if it's on the 3DS.
Yeah. So. I think you should still give it a shot sometime and give it a chance. And
sure. I don't use my 3DS really anymore, so I'll play it once or twice, and it'll be cool, I'm sure, but then that's it.
So, but yeah, it's got lots of cute things. It's gonna have the Wii U level high from your mom what's it called when 9-volt, I believe, is trying to play his games hiding from his mom. Has that mini, the most popular mini game that was on the Wii U one.
It's called Hide From Your Mom.
Yeah, they're gonna have
I don't actually know the movie.
They're gonna have that one on there. There's a lot of cool stuff on it. There's even this really goofy feature. Because the thing I like about the WarioWare games is that it goes beyond just the micro games, and they have like the goofiest extra features, like the little toys and stuff that you can get, and it's like the most random stuff. And they plan on having a feature where I even saw pictures of it already, where it's going to be compatible with all the amiibos, which whatever, like every Nintendo game is compatible with amiibos. But what it is, it's like this goofy artist you can unlock, and you can scan the amiibos, and he's basically a guy who's like, give me some inspiration to like sketch out a drawing, and you scan whatever amiibo you want. He's like, okay, and he sketches out like a really goofy drawing of whatever amiibo that you give him, and they're always like really funny, silly looking pictures, like.
Did you try it?
Well, it wasn't available in the demo.
Lame.
But it was available. Like, I saw... I looked up an article online, and I guess a review copy, they messed with the feature.
Here's the real question. Are they releasing amiibos for this game?
I don't believe they are.
All right.
I don't think they are. I think it's just going
to... shit.
Yeah?
I need my WarioWare amiibos.
I don't know. Maybe they could announce it. Who knows? So, yeah.
All right.
Well, check it out. It's available. It's a demo available now. It's got a bunch of mini games for the demo and every mode, and it's just it's fun. It's WarioWare. It's exactly what it advertises itself to be.
So this is interesting, and I'm sure. I don't know if you've heard about this or not. They've got the probably the best third party accessory maker, period, the only one that I would ever consider buying anything from is Hori.
Oh, I was going to talk about this too.
They're coming out with a D-pad Joy-Con for the Switch.
This is great news.
But there's some problems. And it's basically, I would already be pre-ordering it or buying it if it wasn't for this stuff. It only works in handheld mode. It has to be attached.
It doesn't have Bluetooth.
Yeah, it has to be attached to the system. Doesn't have shoulder buttons and stuff, so you can't use it detached. It's not wireless anyway. But it's got a full legitimate D-pad on it. So this it's annoying that it has to come to this, where a third party basically has to pick up the slack for Nintendo, because they could have easily released a Joy-Con like that and it would have sold.
Yeah.
With all the features, they could have released a $50 Joy-Con like that and it would have been fine. And I feel like that's kind of been the story of the Switch, is there's been a lot of things that are wrong with it, and it's always a third party accessory that has to solve the problem.
Has to step in, yeah.
Yeah.
They're finally gonna come in and make their own dock stand. Like that's happening, an official one from Nintendo, but it's just like, okay, it took you over a year to fix this problem that everyone knew about since day one. So yeah, I think it's a step in the right direction, though. At least we have something on the market now, and if it starts selling well, Nintendo is going to take notice of that and start and hop on that train too and release something as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's a no-buy for me because I like the idea, but it's a no-buy for me because I never play my Switch in handheld mode. So even when I'm out and I have my Switch somewhere, most of the time, I put it on a table and use the controller separately.
Mm-hmm.
So, the fact that it has to be in handheld mode, the controller has to be attached to the system, makes it a no-buy for me.
Well, the Pro Controller has a D-pad on it. And
exactly. That's the thing. So, I just have no use for it.
For me, it's pretty useful because I use handheld mode pretty often. And I play a lot of platforming-type games on it so far. So, it piqued my interest, but then the problems with it are just not... Because it also suffers from it drains the battery life pretty hard. Am I too loud?
Yeah.
So
turn it down some. Okay.
it drains the battery life too hard.
Yeah.
Too. It just seems like there's a plethora of problems with it that it's. We've talked about this before. I'm not really huge on third party controllers.
Well, I won't buy them unless they're from Hori, and that's only because they have a history of making great controllers. You have that Hori N64 controller that they released back in the day that go for like $100 now.
Yeah.
Like you said, step in the right direction. I wish that it wasn't so cheaply made.
Yeah. Yeah, because they were trying to bring costs down.
Right. But at the same time, it's like it's a boutique item. This kids are not gonna be buying this.
No.
Only like hardcore gamers who play a lot of indie games are, and those people will just shell out the extra $20.
Maybe never mind.
You're alienating people like me who would have bought it, but now that it's got all these limitations, I'm not going to.
Maybe in their heads they were just like, well, if we we do want to release this, but we don't know how big the audience really is for it, and if we make it this cheap price point, then the parents, when they buy their Switch, they're going to be like, oh, I need another controller? Well, that one's $25, so I'm just going to throw it in the bag.
But since it has to be attached to the Switch,
parents don't
what's
care.
The point? Yeah, but what's the point of the other controller? You don't need another controller. It comes with one attached to it already.
Yeah, yeah. It's
so
silly.
There's not even it. There's no audience for it even there. It's not even used. It can't be used as an extra controller. Mm-hmm. So no matter how you slice it, it just, I feel like it alienates too many people because it's such a small market. It's people who play a lot of indie games who are cognizant of the fact that there's no D-pad because kids don't care or notice. So people who play indie games, cognizant of the fact that there's no D-pad, and also don't mind that it can only be played in handheld mode. And, like, so it's like such a sliver of yeah. people. But it's nice that these things are happening. Like we talked about, we may have mentioned it on the podcast, but I know I talked with you. I backed a Kickstarter that's like a vertical,
vertical
holder for the Switch for handheld mode, because for shooters and arcade games and stuff, because there's a ton of those on the system and there's no way to play the game, the system vertically, even though they include it in the options to turn the screen. But I just don't understand how you're supposed to use it. So there needed, and Nintendo, they were idiots when they made the kickstand. The kickstand's garbage, doesn't turn or anything, and there's no way to prop the Switch up vertically. So someone else had to step in and do it, and that's great. I'm glad that's part of the great thing with a portable system like this, is that it's so versatile mm-hmm. that you can make 3D printed stuff like that, basically, and just, you know, it's just a plastic shell that the thing slides into. Mm-hmm. And as long as it fits and you have all the right vents and stuff on it, then you're golden. So I do like that some of these third parties have stepped in and taken care of this stuff.
But at the same time, it's just a constant... A lot of them are just no-brainer ideas
yeah.
that Nintendo just doesn't do.
They don't want to do it.
What's
it?
Maybe
they don't want that money.
Maybe they're just... I don't know what the reasons. Maybe they don't trust certain manufacturers to do it, because I guess all their resources are being poured into making more systems, and their NES Classic, SNES Classic, we're doing all those GameCube controller releases. So who knows?
Yeah,
I hope Nintendo, because I want official product. So here's to hoping that we get that official directional pad Joy-Con someday. I do think it's gonna happen. It's just a matter of time.
Maybe with the virtual console announcement.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I do think... this wasn't on my topic thing, but I think you raised a really good point, because another lawsuit popped up with... last podcast, you talked about, like, two websites got targeted. And now another website got targeted for Game Boy Advance emulation on their website, where you can actually just right away... Because there's a lot of websites out there where there's a built-in emulation on the websites.
Right.
And another website got targeted for having Game Boy Advance emulation built-in.
Yeah, I really think that this is signaling that they're getting ready to ramp up their classic game collection on the Switch, and that they're like, we don't want any options out there, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, with the NES Classic, when people were hacking them and stuff, and everyone was just like, well, we don't really think Nintendo cares, because they're still buying the hardware, they're paying the money for it. So, but now it's like, I feel like they must be getting really serious about it. Like, maybe that's going to be like a really good Netflix style thing, where they're like, we'll double down and make the best classic game collection available that we possibly can, but we got to make sure that there's no other game in town, basically, to challenge us. And that's kind of where us, because they've never cared. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden now, 8 weeks before they're supposed to launch their new system with online, retro games, now all of a sudden they're cracking down on these websites.
It's important to say, these aren't takedown requests. These are flat-out lawsuits that they're filing.
$150,000 per copyrighted material.
In the past, Nintendo's been really cool about it. People argue that they weren't cool about it, but I've always thought that the opposite, just because they could easily sue, but every single time they were just like, take this down, and that was the end of it. Now they're flat-out... Yeah, suing for lots of money. So it makes a good point to raise that there is possibly money for them to lose from this, and they actually want to protect their property because they're about to sell all these things again. So I mean, it could be really good news in the pipeline. I really hope so. Or they're just doubling down on their properties. So who knows with Nintendo? So I have a feeling that you're probably on the correct side of this, just because we're getting so close to the launch of the online service.
Too coincidental.
Yeah, it's coming in September. We got a little over a month.
Allegedly.
Well, yeah, it might get
They say September, but it's been all crickets on their end.
Yeah, they just refuse to talk about it. So
they're going to have to say something about it, even if it's delayed. They at least have to say it's delayed.
I'm sure they will. So, well, next up, I guess we should talk about this real quickly, just because I'm sure everyone's talking about this right now. It's not video game news, but MoviePass ran out of money. So it affects
Cue Monopoly guy with his pockets pulled out.
it affects the business, one of the businesses I work for. I work for a movie theater, and we actually did have on the 26th, I believe, is when it, what's today, the 28th? Yeah, on the 26th, it went down, and people would walk up to the theater and try to buy tickets to the movie pass, and they couldn't do it. Mm. And a lot of people left. A lot of people just refused to see a movie that night.
Yeah.
And so it just raises a lot of concerns, just lots, because, well, first of all, no one was surprised. Everyone I spoke to, when they found out that the service was down, and that is because
they didn't have any money in their account to pay for the tickets.
Credit card got declined on that one, so they had to borrow an additional $5 million.
Which will be gone in a week.
How are they getting this money? I don't understand I am very ignorant to how this all works, but how do you continuously get loans like to a company like this that's obviously just bleeding it?
I don't know. I mean, I'm worried because I bought my pass a year ahead,
yeah.
And it's been like a double-edged sword. Because I have the year-ahead pass, because I've already paid for everything up front, they're not really allowed to change the terms on me, so I don't get charged for the, like, surge pricing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if they disappear tomorrow, then I'm out the additional 3 months or whatever that I've already paid for.
Yeah.
Whereas you pay monthly.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a pros and cons. Nobody was surprised. It was more of a when. It was more when than, mm-hmm. you know, how.
Yeah.
It was a matter of time. So, yeah, I mean, they sound totally fucked. I don't know how they're going to end up. I don't know how this is going to end.
It's really interesting to watch.
Yeah.
The reason I bring up the concerns is that I've always said this in the past, and I think many people are saying this. Even if they fail, they still made their impact on the industry.
Well, now every other theater system has a monthly subscription plan. So, now
it's almost like they're like the
they're the MySpace.
The MySpace, yeah. But
and then someone will come up and be the Facebook.
Be the Facebook of it, but yeah.
It always happens. It always happens in every industry.
They're like the martyrs when it comes to this, because like it's like they know that they're just gonna fail, but they want to change the industry.
I mean, it's they're the PUBG to Fortnite.
Yeah,
you know, that's how it goes. There's always the person who starts it and then the person who perfects it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I just hope they last out the rest of the year, because that's when my subscription runs out, and I like my free movies.
I haven't been seeing movies as often as I've liked to, so it just makes me go, I really need to go see movies more often before the service like goes away, and then I just...
Well, you're the dream customer.
Oh, I am. I'm totally the gym membership. But even then, they really don't make money off of me, because I do see a movie at least once a month.
Okay.
Like, it's not like I'm not watching anything.
I think they really banked on people forgetting that they had it, and they don't.
Yeah,
people have been using it.
It's changed people. People see movies more often. Like,
yeah,
we did I don't know if we should be talking about these numbers, but that doesn't matter. It matters. But my theater, we've been doing numbers on how much MoviePass customers come in. It's 20% of our business now.
Yeah,
20%. That's a significant number.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of people that wouldn't be otherwise. I feel like 70% a lot of people wouldn't be coming to our theater without that service.
Well, yeah,
it's a lot of young people.
I wouldn't. There's a lot of movies I wouldn't be going to see.
Mm-hmm.
But I do. I go see it because I can.
Yeah,
you know?
We've talked about it many times in the past, where like, I don't want to pay $13 to go see a shitty movie that I know is going to be bad. But even then, it's the movie experience. It's the movie going experience where I walk in there and people are talking on their people are pulling at their cell phones, and yes, that stuff still annoys me now on MoviePass, but it annoys me far more
when you've paid $20
all that money to see the movie. Yeah. You like got a popcorn, you're like out on a date night or whatever, and you're just like, God, I just spent all this money, and I would have had a much better time just sitting at home and watching this. So it's just, it's changed. And that's the thing. I want to go to the movie theater. I want to see movies in movie theaters. That's the way you're supposed to see big blockbusters. But I don't, I just think that the industry needs to change, and I'm glad that it at least made that impact. So even if it goes down, the everlasting effects of it, I think we're heading towards a really good direction for movies.
Yeah. All right.
So,
well, rest in peace, MoviePass.
Well, my, you're on life support.
That was one of my that was one of my topics, but I do have more.
That's fine.
Rest assured. All right. This is a one that's kind of close to my heart here.
Okay.
All right. I love seeing this stuff, and I'm sure it's going to be garbage, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. They announced a set. I forget the company. They announced a set of 5 arcade machines that are coming out. Did you hear about this?
I think I saw something pop up about it, but I mean, I didn't quite understand it. Is that the one that has like Rampage in it and stuff?
Yeah, so they've announced a set of 5 different arcade machines coming out that are three quarters the size of a normal arcade machine. It only costs they're 65 pounds, so you can move them around easily. They come disassembled, so you can like buy them at the store. They're going to be sold at GameStops and things like that. And you assemble them. They're easy to assemble. And they're small. They're kind of small. And so they're for people, regular people who want to play these arcade classics at their house. And I love arcade games. I have an arcade machine. I want more of them. This probably isn't for me because I would rather have the real. This is going to be like emulation, basically.
Well, you'd rather have an actual cabinet with like a multi card in or something.
Right, exactly. Well, and these are like emulated cabinets. The company is Arcade 1-Up. Okay, and let me pull up the list of the games here that they're coming out with. But so if and so the arcade machines themselves are 3/4 the size of the scale, and they're pretty small, but you can actually buy risers for them to make them taller so you can stand up and play them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy those separately. So the games, they're right now they're on sale for $299 each on GameStop. They normally MSRP for $399. Okay. So there's an Asteroids cabinet. And it's got Asteroids, Tempest, Major Havoc, and Lunar Lander. There's a Rampage cabinet, and it's got Rampage, Gauntlet, Joust, and Defender.
Sounds like my machine. Nice.
So, sure, except for this one is the one that I think is really key, because it's got... Okay, it's a Centipede cabinet, and it's Centipede, Missile Command, Crystal Castles, and Millipede.
Ooh, no, so it's got a ball? Yes, it's got... Oh,
so, to me, that one is the most valuable. That's because cool. It's got controls that you can't really emulate at home.
That's cool.
There's a Street Fighter 2 cabinet that's Fighter 2, Champion Edition, Turbo Edition, the new Challengers. And then there's another cabinet that's the one that I'm most interested in game-wise, and it's Final Fight, Ghosts and Goblins, Strider, and 1944.
Nice.
So it's a Capcom one.
Yeah.
So they're all selling for about $300 right now, and they all have two-player setups. When necessary. So like the Street Fighter one has 2-player setup. So same with the Final Fight one. They have a 17-inch LCD screen that it comes with, and they look really cool. They're modeled direct, like they look like the actual cabinets with all the art and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really cool. If anyone's ever been interested in having an arcade cabinet, but they weren't sure about the size, or they didn't want to spend $600, $1,000 on a machine that only plays one game.
Yeah.
This would be perfect for you. It's small enough. I could fit it into this game room with a little bit of, you know, rearranging or whatever.
I think I could like, put it in my bedroom easily.
Exactly. They're pretty small. They're meant to be sat at. So you just put a chair in front of it or a stool or something. I love seeing this type of stuff because arcade stuff isn't, it doesn't get enough coverage. It's, these games are tied to this big hunking thing that's made of wood and old technology that's going to break down, and these games cannot, you know, a lot of these games were never released in that form again, and they're going to be lost in time, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I love seeing that there's still some, there's still efforts being made to be arcade accurate, basically.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at the size right here, and it like gives you measurements where it's like 48 inches in height,
right?
23 inches width.
Yeah, so you would sit down at it, but you can also get risers to make it 6 feet tall.
That's neat.
So
these are really cool. Like, I saw a pop up and I didn't realize what it was, but oh my god, that Rampage one looks awesome. It's got three players on it. Like, look at
wow,
that.
Wow, that's cool.
That's so awesome.
I didn't know that.
It's got like all the art and everything. Yeah. Like, that's neat. Like, yep. If I wasn't moving away, I'd be really tempted to get one of those, because I bet there's going to be some kind of scene where people are going to mod them easily.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can just, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you just mod them, and yeah, I plan on building my own. I do like a little bit of like woodworking and stuff like that. I like to build my own furniture, and it's not that difficult to basically make the frame for a cabinet. I do expect eventually to make my own arcade cabinet, so it's not really so much for me, but people who, but you know, there's a large audience for that stuff. I mean, yeah, it's really cool. I love it, honestly. Like, I'm tempted to buy one even though it's not even useful for me.
Yeah, those are really neat for sure.
So,
huh.
Yeah. All right.
Well, something to note, just because we keep talking about how, actually, I guess more importantly, Microsoft is currently developing a new streaming service. So, they're currently working on the next generation Xbox.
Right.
Which apparently is going to come out in 2020.
Scarlet.
Which is just, good for Microsoft. They're still pushing. They're still pushing out as many models as they possibly can until maybe something will stick.
Well, this is a totally new console.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's supposed
when
to
did
like,
the Xbox One come out? 2015, 2016?
Xbox One?
Yeah.
Release date. 2013? No.
No.
No way.
Okay. So that's seven years.
It's been out for a long time.
That's plenty of time. That's not that premature.
No, I guess I'm just thinking because they put that Xbox One X out to like try to get the Xbox One to put.
But everybody knew that was like not a next generation thing.
True. So they're also working on a. Well, a second Xbox console that'll be limited to completely streaming games.
Right.
A streaming only console. So it's only going to have enough to just basically process like controller input, image processing, collision detection.
It's like a Roku.
Yeah.
It's a set-top box that streams the games. And then so basically what they're doing is they've got two separate models. You have the high-performance one that's like you buy the games at the store, you play them on your TV, and mm-hmm. it's all done in your living room. And then you have the budget model that is a streaming console, and it's basically going to be like Netflix. You don't own the games. You can't buy the games. It has no hardware. It's probably going to be cheap. I would hope not more than like $100 or so. And I think it's a great idea. They're doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, doing two separate models and having you giving gamers, hardcore gamers, the option to buy the actual $500 console and buy their games and stuff, while at the same time providing, it's a great business move for them because it's a low income type of deal. They probably get to do like a $30 a month or $20 a month Netflix style subscription service, and they already do that the games are already on Xbox Live Gold or whatever the fuck it's called.
They have the free games of Xbox Live Gold, and they also have Game Pass.
Yeah, the Game Pass. Like, if you have Game Pass, whenever their first-party games, they're available the day of that they come out.
Mm-hmm.
So they already have the service set up. You charge, you sell a set-top box that anyone can buy and be like, yeah, well, now you can play Xbox games just when they come out, and you buy the set-top box, and you have the subscription, and they're not selling anything. You're not missing out on production. You're not wasting money on production costs. You're not wasting money on shipping and things like that. And everything that you take in, that $25 a month that you get from people or however much it is 100% profit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a great move. It's great as a consumer and for the business because they're still giving people the option. If they came out and said, all right, the next Xbox is going to be 100% streaming, I'd be like, that's stupid because I'm not going to buy one. I'm not even going to entertain the idea of ever buying one. And I'm sure there's plenty of gamers out there that would feel the same way. I have my PC. They release most Xbox games on PC anyway. So I'm like, whatever. I don't need it. Not for me. But yeah, the fact that they give you the option, I could see a lot of people that wouldn't normally buy the Xbox be like, man, it's $100, it's
mm-hmm.
streaming, my friends play this, even for two games, it'd be like, oh, my friends are really into Halo right now, let me pick up this $100 streaming box and play with them.
Make it more enticing as an, like we said before, like an all-inclusive, what we said maybe Google should do is admit, I think bringing people in. And this has always been, like, the marketing move that they've been trying to do, but I think these low price point machines are the way to do it, where you're like, it's an all-inclusive entertainment machine. It's got all, your Hulu and your HBO Go all on it, and it's got a streaming service. I talked to someone that worked the other day who literally bought an Xbox, and he was out of gaming mm-hmm. for years, and he got an Xbox One only, the S, only because the Xbox One S was a lower-end cheap 4K 4K Blu-ray player.
Yeah, well, it's funny you mention that because I've been in the market for a while now for a 4K TV, mm-hmm. and I'll probably get one at the end of this year, like for Black Friday or whatever. And I would most likely end up buying an Xbox One for that reason because I'm pretty sure that like nice 4K Blu-ray players are more expensive than the Xbox One.
Yeah,
so it's like, well, why not?
Yeah,
I get a console out of it too, mm-hmm. so it's a no brainer.
It's a smart move. I think they see what's happening and they having to because they developed such a great service. The Game Pass, like every time I look at it, I'm like, that's a pretty cool service. It's just that it's really hard to sell it, because they have to sell it behind that system that nobody wants to buy.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's a brilliant move on their part because you're opening the door to so many other people, casual gamers and stuff like that, that
don't want to think about that. And we talk about digital only. People love that.
Yeah. So there's going to be some hurdles, like internet connection speeds and stuff. But if any, I heard this point the other day. I was listening to someone talking about it, and it was like, because there are hurdles in the way. There are, like, internet is not great across. Mm-hmm. Across America,
the world,
data caps are a problem. There will be problems to solve, but everyone laughed at Microsoft when they only included an Ethernet port on the Xbox and not a dial-up port, and we're like, our service is going to be totally 100% Ethernet. Everyone laughed at them and was like, why? We're all still on dial-up. And in the long run, that ended up working out for them really well.
Mm-hmm.
And, so they've done something like that before, and it ended up working out for them. If anyone could pull off the technology end of it, it's Microsoft or Google or someone like that.
I think they're just placing their bets in the right direction right now, which they could be wrong, because it's a gamble for sure. But I do think we are – I know internet connections are still terrible, but I think we are still moving to a point where – we are going to start fiber and all that stuff is going to become more available soon.
Well, so I was about to say, every generation there's like a fight for a major, way that we like a public works fight where how we consume our entertainment and stuff. And in the 90s, it was like cable TV and stuff, and in internet. And in the 2000s, it was, and like the 2010s, it's streaming services like, you know, Netflix and Amazon and things like that. And I think that I really think that the next big like fight for the major companies is going to be internet. Like when we talked about the Google streaming console, I brought up the fact, I'm like, maybe this is a way for them to try and sell their Google Fiber.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going to be, because the internet is so important nowadays that whoever owns the internet owns the world, basically. What? So these companies like Amazon and Microsoft and Google and stuff, if they can find a way to be like, you know, the Netflix of internet, then they win.
Well, I think the thing is now is that cable companies were fighting this shit back then, which are the companies that are holding our internet connections. They wanted us to be relying on cable. They didn't want these streaming services.
I mean, they still come to my door and try and sell me TV services. They still do.
But guess what? Streaming services are like bulldozing their way through right now. It's mm-hmm. not just Netflix anymore. There are so many streaming services. Disney's going to have a streaming service, and they're about to buy Fox.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge. It's unavoidable now. It's not just Netflix against the cable companies. It's the cable companies against Netflix, Hulu, YouTube,
Disney,
Amazon, HBO, the cable companies Showtime. Are
done. Like, as far as TV goes,
everyone's like, fuck you, we're done. Like, yeah. this is the future.
And you know what's funny is that they blew it, because for years people begged them to do an a la carte system where yeah. they say, well, I only watch 5 channels, so is there any way that we can just get 5 channels from you, the 5 channels I want, for like $20 a month? Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, we have all the power, and you're required to get 200 channels at $100 a month, even though you only want 5 of them. Fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
And people found a way around it, and now they're just totally screwed. Like, some guy came up to my house the other day for Spectrum or whatever and was trying to sell me TV. And he was like, well, what do you use for cable, or what do you use for TV? And I told him I don't have any. And I just went to him and I laughed. I was just like, man, that's honestly, like, it's kind of an old person thing. Like, I don't know anyone who has cable. Like, it's just not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
It's not. And, yeah, they screwed themselves. So, the streaming services, yeah, it's the cable companies versus everyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone. When your major rivals, the people who are pushing you out of the market, are Amazon
and Disney,
you're done. You've lost already. Yeah. Game over, pal. Yeah. Like, as soon as you go head toe to toe with Amazon, you're done.
Yeah.
You've blew it. So, yeah, I do think that the next big fight will be for internet. And I think that the wheels are already in motion.
Enough.
The wheels are already in motion with that law that was passed or whatever by the FCC law or whatever, the internet or the web, what is it called? Fucking, it was bullshit because it was named strangely on purpose, like they do. So it's like, it means the opposite of what it's called. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. I don't know why.
I'm drawing a total blank now. Everyone was freaking out about it at the time, and then now everyone's forgot about it.
Net neutrality.
Now that that's been overturned, basically, by the FCC boss that Trump appointed, that opens the door up to make the markets more accessible. Like, it basically deregulated that market. So now, if Google wants to come in and make a deal with, like, cities and stuff and be like, well, we're just going to use the already laid down fiber and stuff like that to sell our system, it's easier for them to do that. And the same goes for like Amazon or Microsoft or whatever. If they want to make their own ISP, they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because, you know, not to get too political, but when you're on the topic of net neutrality, people have been complaining for decades about internet providers and cable providers and how they have monopolies all over all these areas and that you're screwed into these specific things. And when you deregulate that, you're basically opening the door for like a Netflix style war where it's like everyone was worried that the internet was going to get more expensive and that, you know, they're going to data cap everyone now and stuff. And it's like, well, they can do that because it's been deregulated, but because they've deregulated it, it also opens the door for someone to come in, like Netflix, who are like, hey, I noticed that you've been spending $5, $10 a week getting one movie at a time at the Blockbuster over there for 7 days, and you only watch it once. Pay us $8 a month, and we'll give you unlimited movies, as much as you want. And that's what's going to happen, is when you deregulate this, the system, sure, there's going to be assholes who go out and say, well, we're only going to let you have 30 megabits a second and cap it at 30 gigs. And then someone else is going to come by and be like, well, we'll just give you unlimited. And then everyone's going to go with that person.
Yeah.
And that's what's basically why Google Fiber, everyone wants Google Fiber to come to their town, is because Google Fiber is a gigabit, it's cheap, and it's unlimited. And yeah, it's, and they even have like a free option.
Yeah.
Where,
well, every neighborhood would get like basic internet for free.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's I think that's the next big like fight, basically. Mm-hmm. The big battle, technology battle. You know, first it was for the operating systems, and then it was for you know, cable, and then it was for media. What type, you know, is it going to be Blu-ray or DVD or VHS or, you know, HD DVD or LaserDisc? And then it was streaming services, and I think the next one will be internet. Who will win the internet wars?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think the best way to enter a gaming world like this is to have the option.
So yeah, I think the streaming box is an intriguing thing, and I think when more things go that route, you end up, you're going to push the technology in the culture in that direction, and people are going to be, people who wouldn't normally be asking for stuff like that are going to want it, you know. And that's what's happened with the internet service providers and stuff too. When they come to the door now to sell me internet, they always make it a point to be like, now, like, oh, this speed is good enough for like 4K streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because even, you know, random soccer moms and stuff are watching Netflix in 4K, and they want to make sure that it's not going to buffer and stuff.
Yeah.
They don't know the technology behind it, but they just want to make sure that it's fast enough to watch their 4K streaming. And so therefore it's pushed the internet providers to give faster internet, because they're like, well, this is what people want. And if we don't give them what they want, then they're just going to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's interesting. I would love to see what they do with it. So, yeah. Got anything else?
I do, but I think we're good.
You sure?
Well, we could talk about Nintendo Labo.
Yeah. After that great conversation.
I know, that's why I didn't want to end it with that, because we already had such a great conversation going.
They're making a new Labo. Thank you for listening, guys. Bye-bye.